Jim Sabala. Jim says, I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Where's the church?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Where is the Church? As he continues his study from the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. So, let's join the study.
Paul wasn't preaching the word. He was in Corinth, and he was tired. He was worn out. He was discouraged, and nothing was working for him. And Jesus appeared to Paul in a vision and said, Paul, listen, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Keep preaching the word, for I have many people in this city. And how long did Paul stay there? He stayed there for a year and 6 months, a year and a half. So visions and so forth. You will talk about revelations from the Lord. Read chapter 1 of Galatians, and you'll see that Paul was personally taught, given the revelation of the gospel of the word of God by Jesus himself. Came by revelation. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Look at verse 2 now. Paul says, he's going to speak in the third person. Now watch what he does. I know a man, and I love this part, in Christ. In other words, a born-again new creation. I know a man in Christ who 14 long years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, out of the body, I still don't know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, can you imagine being caught up? That word is the same word used in Acts 8:39 about Philip after the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, it says that the Spirit caught Philip away and he was found at Azotus. Remember that? And it's the same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, 16-17 about the church being caught up. It's the snatching away, violently snatching away, instantly, not even knowing it's going to happen. Paul says, I don't know where I was. I don't know if I was in the body. I don't know if I was in the spirit. I don't have a clue. Only God knows. Man, I mean, what a life Paul had. He was let down in the basket, and now he's caught up into heaven. Hey, amen? What a glorious thing it is. Now, there obviously the third heaven means there's three heavens. The first heaven is the heaven that we see. That's where all the little birds fly. You see the birds in American Airlines and all that. You know what I'm talking about. That's what that is. Now, that's called our atmosphere. The second heaven, there are the planets and Jupiter and Mars and all the rest of the junk that's up there, you know, and maybe the satellites that disintegrated, the space junk and all the rest of it. That's called outer space. But then there's another heaven. There's a third heaven where Paul was caught up into. The very abode of God. The place where angels and the cherubim and the seraphim, where the saints of God, where Jesus is at, where God is at. Paul entered into a realm of the nearest communication with God that a mortal being could ever have. He was in the very presence of God. I don't know how to explain that except to say, man, the third heaven is the highest of them all. It is not only the place of God, Lord, listen to me, heaven is real and heaven is our home. Amen? Oh, I think of that. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 10:14, indeed heaven and the highest heavens, well, they belong to the Lord your God. It tells us in Hebrews 9:24 that Jesus went into heaven itself. It says to appear in the presence of God for you and for me. What a glorious scripture that is. Now look at verse 3. He repeats it. I know such a man. I don't know if he was in the body, out of the body. I don't know. God knows. How he was raptured or caught up into paradise, and what happened when he got there. He heard inexpressible, that word inexpressible is only found there in the New Testament. Inexpressible what? Words. Words that were being spoken. What was being spoken? We're not told. Think about that. He heard things that were unbelievable. And he says, not only how unbelievable, it's not even lawful for a man to utter. In other words, they are so sacred. God said, no. No human being could ever utter or speak about the things that he saw there. Paul says, watch now, of such a one I will boast, yet not of myself. I will not boast. I'm not going to boast about heaven. I'm not going to boast about what I heard, but look what he's going to boast about. Except my weaknesses, my infirmities. That's what we just learned a minute ago, chapter 11, 22 and following. He says, for though I might desire to boast, hey, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I will refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or what he hears from me. Now that's what you call humility, amen? Loved one, listen, did Paul boast? No, he didn't boast at all. And did he build all the churches that the Lord led him to found? Did he build them on this experience? Paul, the man from heaven. Did he do that? If it happened today, what's the name of TBN and Daystar, would they be knocking on his door? Or he would be knocking on their door? Do you understand? No, listen, Paul, to our knowledge, I couldn't find anywhere else he ever talked about this in the Bible, in the New Testament, ever, except for right here. No, he didn't make any book deals. No, I'm not condemning that. But what I'm not. I don't have a book deal. I don't want a book deal either. No, Paul said, let me tell you what I want to really boast about. I don't want to tell you about heaven because I can't. But I want to tell you how weak I am. I want to tell you all about my weaknesses. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance, or literally the greatness of the revelations, those divine secrets in heaven, loved one. Look what happened. A thorn in the flesh, not spirit, a thorn in the flesh was what? Given me. Now, when that word given, that is, Paul is implying that the thorn was a gift. You understand? That's hard to believe, but that's what he's implying here. He says, was given to me. What was it? Well, it was a messenger, an angel of Satan to do what? Well, to buffet me. That word buffet me in the Greek is present tense continuous, means that Paul was saying, I'm being slapped around all the time. Everywhere I'm going, I'm being slapped around. It means a fist in the face. The reason, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now listen, that means that the temptation to talk about this was real in Paul's life. Amen? Did you know that Paul, if he had shared anything like that, could have started his own denomination. Do you know that? Yes. So what happened? Well, there was a thorn. That word thorn is only used right here in the New Testament. Now, was the word thorn, is it a splinter, like a little thorn, you know, or is it a stake? Because, see, it can be used either way. There are those that say, oh, no, it wasn't a stake, because a stake was used then for impaling the individual. Do you understand? You know, it's just a splinter. It's like a little, like I just told the first service, I'm a little boy on the farm, you didn't wear shoes. You know, your feet are just hard and callous and dirty. You know what I mean? And you know those stickers? What are they called? Bullheads or whatever? I forget. I asked the first service. They never heard of them. They never even got a sticker, you know? But, you know, and remember how they would stick in you? They were big. Oh, get them right in the big toe. Oh, I mean, the pain, and you'd have to pull them out, and they were huge. Remember that? Is that what Paul's talking about here, this thorn? Is it just a splinter? If it is, it's constant and recurring pain, because that's what it implies there. Or was it that stake? I don't know, and I'm not going to debate it. I know its location, 14 years in Paul's flesh. That is a long time, loved one. Man, listen, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Why would we try to find out when Scripture's silent? Do you know how many books have been written on that? There are some of the most brilliant people from years ago up until this moment. I respect them. They're much smarter than I could ever even think of being. And there are many of them, and I respect them highly. And they say, well, it was depression. Well, how do you know it was depression? Or they say it was a sickness, because, you know, the word infirmity could imply an illness. But it also is just meaning I'm powerless in my body. I'm powerless in anything I can do. Does that make sense? Yeah. And they say, well, it was more than that. Some people say, well, it was a headache or toothache, or it was an earache, or it was epilepsy, or it was a speech impediment. But the majority say it was an eye disease or an eye issue, okay? Because in Galatians, Paul says, see what large letters I have written unto you. I don't know what it was. I don't know at all. But I know this. The word messenger, angelos, okay, is, in the New Testament, is used 175 times. It always speaks of a human being or an angel, you know, or something like that, or even a demonic angel. So if it's 175 times, man, that word messenger is used as a person, it's kind of hard for me to believe that, okay, let's just say 174 times as a human or person, but the last time is an eye disease. Does it kind of make sense? I can't buy it. So, and especially the next verse, look at this. Concerning this thing, this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, this angel of Satan, look what happened. I begged, I pleaded with the Lord three times. Now watch this, that it, that's a very important word, it might depart from me. Ephestemi, that's the name of that word, it in the Greek. It always, always in the New Testament speaks of an individual. So what was it? I don't know what it was. We're not told what it was. But I know one thing. Paul asked Jesus, said, Lord, he asked him three times, would you take this splinter, this stake, this thorn, this messenger, whatever it was, would you take it away from me? Jesus said, no. You know what the thorn did? See that messenger of the wicked one? I'm sure he wanted to crush Paul, but it didn't crush Paul. Do you know what? Listen to me. It made Paul, who was an incredible man of prayer, a greater man of prayer. You see, the thorn drove Paul to his knees. Loved one, may I say this to you? I love you, but maybe we need that kind of thorn in the churches today that'll drive God's people back to an altar where we get on our knees before God and we're desperate for him. Amen? That's what Paul was saying. And listen, I know that you young believers out there are going to say, I'm going to go home and I'm going to study out that thorn. I'm going to figure it out. Okay, do it. But it's a secret. You're not going to get it. Why look at that secret when you're not going to know? Why don't you look at the open secret right before you in verse 9? Look at this. And he said to me, Jesus' final word, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, that my dunamis, the power of God. My dunamis is made perfect in weakness. So what does Paul say? Oh, come on, get the devil off of me. I'm going to rebuke him or, you know, Lord. You know. No, what does he say? Therefore, Paul says, I love this. Most gladly, I would rather brag. I would rather glory. I would rather boast in my what? My weaknesses, my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. What did Jesus tell Paul? Jesus said, Paul, listen to me. I know what's happened to you, but I want you to know that my unconditional, unmerited, unearned, undeserved grace, the divine favor of God, is all that you will ever, ever need. It is totally sufficient for you. God's grace is always productive. It's never unproductive. It always enables us, loved one. No, he says, wow, okay, I'm going to most gladly boast in that. No matter what you're facing in your life, put them all on one side and say, boy, look at all of this. And when you do, put God's grace over here. Amen? Because that's all you need. Listen, did Paul, when he reached out to Christ Jesus and he prayed to the Lord three times, did he, Paul, go to the same throne of grace that we go to? Yes, it's there. Everything that we need is there. Mercy, help, time of need, grace. We can obtain it. God said, no, Paul, no. He said, my strength, Paul, is made what? Perfect. Now listen carefully. Let me give you some definitions in the Greek of that. My strength is made fully seen, or my strength is made fully present, or my strength realizes its full potential. But my favorite translation, I love it. My strength reaches its zenith in weakness. See, weakness of the believer equals the perfect power of God. And then Paul said, I'll gladly put up with all of these things. Why? Here comes, he said, that the power of Christ, and here's that word, rest, may rest. That means to, in the Greek, take up residence, live in a tent or whatnot. It, come to rest upon me. So the power of Christ, in other words, would pitch his tent over Paul. So Paul is saying now, in the moments of my greatest weakness, I find my greatest power through the power of another. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. Therefore, watch what he says. Therefore, I take pleasure. That's not a mistranslation. I take pleasure, Paul says. Look at that again. I take pleasure. What do you take pleasure in, Paul? Ready? In infirmities, in reproaches. I take pleasure in when I'm in need. I take pleasure when I'm being persecuted. I take pleasure in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. Why, Paul? For when I am weak, there's that word again, weak, without power, without strength. For when I am weak, then I am what? I'm powerful. I'm strong, he says. In other words, in Christ's power. Listen, what did Jesus tell us? He said, without me, you can do nothing, absolutely nothing. He is our strength, amen? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paul writing there in Ephesians 6:10, finally, brethren, do what? Be strong. How, Paul? In the Lord and the power of his might, in the power of his might. I look, oh, Lord, I want to be very transparent with you right now. You know, when I finished up this sermon last night, well, actually this morning at 3:30, how you like that? I was up all night praying off and on over this message, struggling, direction. How do I teach it to your people, your church? When I got to this verse, I want to read what I wrote. Let me read it again. I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and needs, and persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. Here's what I wrote. I said, I'm ashamed, Lord. I'm ashamed and embarrassed to read this verse because I don't know if I take pleasure like that. And I said to myself, where is the church? Where is the church today? Where are the churches in this country who can say boldly, I take pleasure. I take pleasure, Lord. I'm going through it. I take pleasure in my persecution. I'm doing it for you, Lord. And I know you're proud of me. I know you love me. I know you're strengthening me. Lord, I have a need. Oh, I take pleasure because I know that you'll never leave me. I know that you'll never forsake me, no matter what I'm facing. Oh, Lord, I take pleasure in and in and in for Christ's sake. And here's the deal. Listen to me now. I fear in my heart that we here in America, the American Christian, in the American churches, I fear that we're too strong for that. We're too strong to say, I take pleasure in. You see, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none to the beggar, but what I do have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. The church today can say, what I have I give unto thee, and it's called silver and gold. We have piety, but we have no power. We've left the upper room. We've dissected the upper room. We've dissolved the gifts of the Spirit, removed the leading and the guiding and the walking in of the Holy Spirit of God, the helper, the divine helper of the church. I said, no, God, we're too strong for that, aren't we? Did you know it was the grace of God that transformed Paul's perspective? He said, wow, Paul then knew in his heart, no matter what he faced in his life, Jesus' grace is going to be enough for me. I'll get through every situation. But I feel that we're too strong for that. Oh, yeah, we're not weak enough. We're too strong. You know, what we do is we just continue to treat God's grace, as it says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, do not take God's grace in vain. The word means to treat God's unmerited favor as something that's worthless, something that is meaningless. I fear we're grace wasters that God has given to us. We're just so strong today, so strong in our thinking, in our individuality. But Paul wasn't like that at all. Jim Sabala, a book I read years ago, he said this. Jim says, I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. Isn't that amazing? God's attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Where's the church? Have we forgotten that in our weakness, that is what makes room for Christ's power in our lives? Not our strength, not our ability. He doesn't need our ability. He doesn't need our wisdom. Loved one, just look over at chapter 13, verse 4. When Jesus was at his weakest, look he was at his strongest. Look at chapter 13, 4. It says, for though he, meaning Jesus, was crucified in weakness, yet he lived by the power of the dunamis of God. For we also are weak in Christ, in him. But we shall live by the power of the dunamis of God toward you. Listen, Jesus, in his weakest moment, when he was beaten to a pulp, crucified upon a tree, in his weakest moment, when he just had enough strength to look over at the thief and say, today, you'll be in paradise with me forever. Or enough strength to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. In his weakest moment, he did the most incredible, unbelievable thing. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 1 John 3:5, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He did on that cross in his weakest moment. What did he do? It says, and God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. He bore our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Oh, loved one, listen. I say, we're so strong, so strong. I think God goes, I can't work with strong people. I can't work with a strong church who's strong in the flesh or strong in what they think instead of being strong in me. You know, it says that when we were without strength, when it was all, we're nearly unconscious, nearly dead. It says that Christ died for us. Loved one, listen to me. Where's the church? We have ended up where we are so strong, we don't pray. We don't forgive. We tear down instead of building up. Our prayer closets are empty. We're too strong to serve. We're too strong to open our Bibles. We're too strong to win the lost. We're too strong to be the ambassadors of Christ, to discover our gift. We're so strong that we will not get out of our own comfort zones. Oh, listen. I don't know how you feel about this, but the Bible teaches us that God has chosen the strong. No. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God chooses weak people. He uses weak people to change the world. Those that have no ability. Acts 4:13, it says that the learned looked at Peter and James and all, they said, oh my, they were untrained, they were unlearned, but they had been with Jesus. Loved one, listen. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, where is the church? For I know that God, what God has, he doesn't share with the strong. What God has, he shares with the weak. Lord, I'm afraid to step out. I know, you're weak. I can use you. Oh, Lord, I don't know one thing about the Bible, really. I don't know how to even put a sermon. Good, come on. Oh, Lord, but I want to witness, but I don't know. Oh, I love you. Come here.
I know the Roman road. I've read every book. No 66 books. Blah, 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 blah.
That wasn't Jesus. That was me. What God has, he shares with those who are weak. We're going to close. Let me just talk. Isaiah 40:28. God says, have you not known? I know you knew about all this, but why don't you learn it all over again? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Here it comes. He gives power to the strong. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. The religious leaders were powerless, and they were pathetic, and they had religion that can only put a man in bondage. They didn't have a relationship. He says that God, he gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. I just can't do it, Lord. I don't know what to do. I'm not trained. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm just those who have no might. He increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, meaning people that are in their prime, the young guys, and the young men, they're going to fall. Oh, but those who wait are literally have confident expectation, eagerly waiting. Those who wait upon the Lord, here it comes, shall renew, that word means to exchange, renew their strength. Oh, and what kind of strength is this? They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. Any eagles in here? They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and they're not going to faint. Where is the church? Where is the church today, loved one? I tell you where it is. You're in a gap. The American church is in a gap. They're stuck in glory. They're not going from glory to glory. And it's time right now for the church of Jesus Christ to become weak again. I can't do it without you. I can't pray without you. I can't serve without you. I can't love without you. I can't do anything about you. It's time for the church to become weak. And only when we become weak again, and only then, will we bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in our body. Maybe the church, maybe this church needs the thorn so we can live again and serve again.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with another message from his study in 2 Corinthians, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening today and pray you have a great rest of your day. So long. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866
866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.